weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 517 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, as we kick off a new year, I have a special interview with Manuel Godoy from Black Sands Entertainment. He has a big opportunity happening this Friday at 8 p.m. on ABC on their program Shark Tank. We talk about his company and what an opportunity this presents, as well as what he has coming out, which includes a lot of wonderful offerings. Of course, we discuss diversity in comics as well, so you're going to hear some wonderful things that need to be said. I continue to make progress on getting my voice fixed, and you may hear a difference as we move forward as I adjust to some changes. But as always, be sure to pay attention to what my guests are saying, because that's the most important thing, and that's what this podcast is about. There's a lot to get to in this episode, the first of 2022. So let's get on with the show. Can't think of a better way to start 2022 than to talk with Manuel Godoy, the president and an author for Black Sands Entertainment, the number one black publishing house in the nation. It's got something really big going on. How's it going, Manuel?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to talk with you. The big deal, and I'm so excited about it. And I saw it because I'm a Patreon member with you guys, and I saw it there, and I went, maybe we should talk about that and try to get the word out as much as we can. But you and your company are going to be on Shark Tank on Friday the 7th at 8 o'clock. Is that right?
Yes, we are going to be on Shark Tank.
Wow.
Crazy stuff.
That's amazing. I don't think, and I've watched that show on a fairly regular basis. I've never seen a company on there before, a comic book company. Are you guys the very first?
I'm a diehard fan, too, so I haven't seen it either, so that's why I was like, I think we're going to have a good chance because they just never seen it.
Yeah. It's something great. So it's this Friday the 7th, and it's at 8 o'clock in the Eastern Time. So we'll make sure everybody get ready to do it because we want to make sure that enough people turn out and support it. Now, if I understand my TV programs correctly, you probably already recorded that.
Oh, yeah. That was a while ago. And yeah. I can't disclose what happened or who's there or what's there or whatever. Yeah. Right. But they did say we could do interviews. So
oh, good.
That's good.
Good for me. I'm glad to hear that because I want to get the word out about this. I think this is a huge deal. An amazing thing to have happen. It's just great. Now, what can you tell us about the thing? I know you can't tell us if you got a deal. You can't tell us all the important stuff because we want people to watch the show. But what can you tell us about your appearance on there?
Well, one thing I can say is that, at the end of the day, we were pitching our company, right, for investors. And, we're going to be offering, the usual. Everybody offers equity on Shark Tank. So we'll probably be doing the same, But one thing is, our company itself has really positioned itself well to be presentable to investors, because we did like three prior investment rounds already on WeFunder.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So we've always been in a position to basically talk business with investors. And, so we've definitely been preparing our numbers and everything else before anything ever happens. We can't really disclose anything about what happens on the show until afterwards. Afterwards, we can talk about it all day. Right. But at least we can talk about numbers. Like if you have any questions at all about our company's numbers or what's it called, I can disclose all that because I already disclosed all that to investors anyway.
Right. Now, I was looking at your website, blacksandsentertainment.com, and there's a list of some numbers on there, and maybe I'll read a couple of them if you want to talk about any of them. You have
pretty outdated.
It's outdated. Okay, well, that's something you can update it for us. It says on here, it must be over 100,000 books sold.
Yeah, it's probably close to 200K now.
Wow.
This year we've done at least 100,000 copies sold, probably more.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Then you have 1,500 plus investors from the black and brown community.
Yeah, it's more like 6,000 now.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow. And you have 1,900 Patreon Patreon subscribers, of which I'm one.
That lowered a bit, but that's all right. You know, at the end of the day, you know, Patreon's one of those things that ebbs and flows. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down,
yeah.
Right? But we're still in the top 1% on Patreon, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, good. Wow, that's excellent. You have hundreds of five-star reviews on Facebook, hundreds of thousands of followers, and it says choose the winning team, which, of course, is the case. It's just a great, 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 you know, it's just wonderful. Your website is, I have to also say, is a terrific website for as a comic book and even as a regular, anybody website. Beautiful graphics, all kinds of things. You know, you were, during the holidays, you had bundles available and stuff like that for people. And just great stuff. All the talk about when I first encountered you guys, it was at New York Comic Con. You were on the other side of the partition from where I was helping out with a company. And when I came around the corner, I'm always looking for diversity. And I came across and saw your Black Sands comic. And I was so stunned to see how really great it was. And, you know, I was interested in the story. That's one thing I always have to preface is I grew up in a community that was not very diverse in northeastern Pennsylvania, coal mining country. And I didn't meet a person of color until I went to college in the Washington, D.C. area. So I'm always on the prowl for things to help me understand the diverse communities better. And this book really has given me a lot of information that I really like, some of the history and some of the mythology that's involved with it. So I really love the books, and that's why I got to be a Patreon, because I thought, I really want to support this, because we need much more of this level of quality in the outside, not only in diverse communities, but in the general public. I think we need a lot more of this.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think Shark Tank is going to really change about, you know, our company in general, is the simple fact that there's going to be a lot of people who never heard of Black Sands in their life and probably would never be exposed to it normally. That's finally going to see, what the heck is this, right? And then they're going to test it. And you know our product speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like assumptions are assumptions. But once you actually see the book and you read it, you're like, wow, this is actually a really good story. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, a lot more put together than most ancient stories. And, you know, I think it's going to be – It's gonna skyrocket. So I believe.
Well, that's what I hope, because you know, as somebody else who has watched that show, sometimes even if you don't get a deal, just the exposure of being on the program, they'll catch up with a business after they didn't get a deal, and they just because they were on there, they got all this business coming in, and they did really well as a result of just all those eyeballs on them. And I hope that's the case with you guys. I hope that this, I don't know if this might bring people who don't even read comics in, is my hope, and there's all kinds of levels.
Well, the thing about it is, from our business model, right, we're not in the comic book industry. Like, that's one of the weird things about our company in general, is that we sell comic books, but we're not in the comic book industry. Like, 90% of our customers never read comics, you know, but they read these, you know. So, you know, it's more of a edutainment type vibe with our company. We make content that has some educational value to it,
mm-hmm.
right? Some cultural value to it. And if it's a comic book, great. If it's a video game, great. If it's a show, great. It doesn't matter what it is. They just want to make sure that it exists and that it keeps coming out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, you guys have an app.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice app, too. I was looking at it. I downloaded it and was looking at the stuff. It's really great. Now, I've got to ask you about I know that this is a comic book podcast, so I'm going to focus on the comics. Because
yeah.
I read the Black Sands comics, but since then, I've noticed that you've got other books out. You've got, and I'm going to probably butcher the names of them. There's Ineola.
Yep.
With a female lead, of course, one of my big things. And there's Andika. I don't know if you want to talk about any of this. And you've got one called Cosmic Girls, which just looks like an all-ages type book.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of titles that are original to Black Sands Entertainment. That means that we published them directly, right? And a whole bunch of titles on the app that are licensed to us exclusively, right? So they've done deals with us to get their digital content out there. Eniola is definitely one of those cool ones. It's more of a modern day drama slash action series, right? Based on a young woman who's a martial artist who gets caught in a Die Hard like situation, you know? It was written by Giselle Godoy, my wife, right? So she's excited about that series, and it's continuing now. Cosmic Girls, yeah, is for all ages, more like that sci-fi epic that's similar to the Clone Wars, right? But a much more like fun vibe. Clone Wars is kind of serious.
I was excited about Eniola because as if you ever go to like Target, where I was just today, and you go through the book sections, they have aisles full of YA stories, and this is listed as YA manga, and I would love to see this in one in a Target aisle someday. That would be great to see that
one day for sure, because Black Sands is starting to get in Barnes and Noble and everything else as well. So eventually, once we have more enough pages in there to get into like a perfect bound collection, that's when you're going to start seeing these books like Eniola, Inca, you know, Andika, stuff like that will be in the, on the shelves soon enough, you know. One thing I will say is, you know, our main niche is like history before slavery, you know, anti-colonial themes, stuff like that. So, you know, our Inca story is about, you know, the Incan Empire prior to, you know, the fall because of the Portuguese when they came through. We also have stories of Andika. Andika is about Malaysian history, right? That's one that we have. Mask of the Orisha is about West African mythology. Madagascar is about a historical piece. So that's an actual straight up historical piece about the Queen of Madagascar prior to, like, I think it's like 1800s, early 1800s. So she was dealing with a lot of colonial powers. And she was one of those leaders who kind of didn't want to have too much influence from the outside. They really demonized her for that in history, right? So we were like, real story of this lady, because she had a long range. She reigned for like 40 years. So,
Wow. See, all this stuff I don't know anything about. And so for me, this is all very informative. I'm really happy to see, because the Black Sands book itself, I really found, you know, as a comic book reader, I really was intrigued by the characters, by the story, by, you know, and of course it fit right into, as a comic book reader, the people with abilities and things like that. But I really wanted to talk about the animation that you guys did, which is really professional and really, gosh, this needs to be on some network somewhere.
I love that. I love that response too. Professional. Right? It's like when you look at stuff and you say, it's cool, right? A lot of things can be cool, but what we were looking for was professional. We wanted to show the final product before we even asked for, like, the first season. You know what I'm saying? So when we developed it, it's all developed in-house. We have our own studio. Right? I partnered with Turner Sterrock, and he's our head of studio. He's been in the industry for 25 years, working on huge studios and building them up from the ground up. And he was like, you know, I'm sick of making these movies. I'm sick of making these, like, little princess stories, right? Right? He wanted to make something that was more ambitious. So he worked with us, started recruiting. We have a whole bunch of really senior people working in our production. And we're going for a look that's similar to Arcane. Now, the Arcane that we saw that just took over the whole world from Netflix, based off of League of Legends, right? That was a look that they were working on for years. So we had already been trying to reach their look, because I already loved, like, what they were doing on YouTube. And then they went to, like, actually make a hardcore series. I didn't know they were making it, right? But when they did make it and released it, it helped us significantly, because it proved that the model that we're going for, as far as the look and the feel and maturity level of the show, basically is gold, is a gold mine, you know?
That's so true. Now, maybe what you should do is explain a little bit of what that story is about, the Black Sands comic and DVD. What's the story about that's on that book?
Yeah, so the story is about the rise of Asar. So Asar, or Osiris, however you want to call him, he's a kid in our story, and he's trying to become the next pharaoh, you know, replacing Ra. But a war breaks out between seven kingdoms, and now it's up to him and his kin to save the world. It has some shonen vibes, right? But at the end of the day, there's a lot of, like, real-world politics going on in the story. So There's seven different kingdoms, which is Kemet, Kush, Minoa, Sparta, Byblos, Canaan, and Sumer. So, you know, you're like, it's not so simple. It's not a simple story, because even though the main story of Black Sands follows Asar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other characters have their own sagas as well. It's like the idea that, you know, the main character of Game of Thrones mm-hmm. is Daenerys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Daenerys Targaryen is the main character, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not the show. That's not the whole. That's not the whole experience, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're following other characters who have their own roles to play and their own quest, and who knows, they might be the final winner. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Black Sands is told. It's like there are other characters that are doing significant things in the world, and it's not always going to be centered around these kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. One of the things I really enjoyed about that and really made me want to become a Patreon was the characters and how vibrant they were and alive. You know, I felt like I knew these kids, and not only the kids, but the people around them. It really was the thing where I was gripped. I had to know what was going to happen to these characters. And that's one of the things in the animation, I think that also comes through, is that these are really living, breathing characters, the way that they're presented. And that's one thing I really wanted to tell you, that it's as somebody who believes in supporting projects like this, I just had to jump on board and do it and become a Patreon because of what's going on with your company.
Oh, I feel you on that. Hey, so you're caught up on the series, right? Issue 10?
Yes.
So far?
Yes.
Yeah, so one of the main characters, Endocles, the leader of the Spartans, right?
Right.
We actually got a spinoff coming out for him soon as well. So one of the things that we do, because we don't put everything in the main story all the time,
mm-hmm.
is characters that are very important, we give them their own three-part series, right?
Mm-hmm.
About their past stuff, their origins.
Hmm.
So his is coming up very soon. We're done with chapter one, but now we just got to clean it up and, you know, do the final touches on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Titan Wars, and it's about how he became the leader of the Spartans, right? And why his belief is the way it is. Because, you know, the Spartans are very different from everybody else in the story. Like, they're, like, at constant war with the ancient gods,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who doesn't fight the ancient gods is their enemy,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they don't want nobody who's... What happened was, before it was just stay out of our way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were betrayed a long time ago by the Minoans, who basically wanted to have peace with the ancients, right?
Right.
And basically broke up their battle plans because people said, oh, we can actually escape and it won't be as bad. And because they got betrayed in that moment, like, most of their army was annihilated, the king was dead. All types of stuff happened that was horrible,
mm-hmm.
all because of that. Because they basically broke the morale of the people before the fight even happened because of peace. They wanted peace,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And ever since that day, the Spartans are like, he said, we can't have anybody with a different opinion. You either with us or you ain't, you know? And you know, it kind of goes with their origins of their real world history, right? Because,
right.
like, if you know about Spartans, is they don't like any foreigners at all, right? They capture them, make them into slaves, right? So the warriors can go to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, but it has to be an origin to that, right?
Right, right.
Right, so I was like, we'll make an origin story in this where it's kind of relatable, where people can actually agree with them,
mm-hmm.
right? If
right.
you were on the side, you would see it their way.
Right, yeah. right. That's very true. I'm interested to see how you continue to go on with the story, because it's been really well told so far. I've been gripped. Are you going to be writing this series?
Yeah, I'm the writer. Yeah,
good. I'm looking forward to that.
I had a lot of distractions recently, for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've been a busy guy with all the stuff. Yeah. It's interesting to be like the president and an author of a company like that. That's got to keep you somebody who's running all the time, pretty much.
Yeah, it definitely is a very different experience from just being a creator, right? I got to worry about other people's work. I got to worry about schedules and deliverables and taxes.
Do you have to schedule like time to be creative?
Yeah, it's very rare for me to write for real. It's probably like 15% of my life. It's not a majority of my time at all.
Hmm.
You know.
Well, I guess that's good and that's bad in some ways, you know, because your writing is really strong and I really like it. But on the other hand, You know, if you can create an environment where other people get to get their creative work out in front of the public, then that's a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to learn how to, like, adjust a little bit, right? So I'm still struggling to figure out how to make enough time to write. But at the end of the day, you know, you don't change the world by being a solo act. You know, mm-hmm. you gotta figure out a way to make everything work, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I've tried to hand off responsibilities. Some responsibilities just can't be handed off.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's true. That's true. Now, if you go to the website, you can buy a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about, which is great. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to continue to have the bundles? There's a full series bundle, and then there's a Flame limited edition bundle, and then there's new Legends bundles. Are those still going to be available after the holidays?
Yes, they will be. We always make adjustments, so that's why you see something like V1, V2, V3, stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? But all these bundles will be available in different capacities, you know. So we have a whole bunch of new books coming out all the time. And it's a good time to talk about Flame. So yeah. You see the Flame series on there. Mm-hmm. That was a person that I gave a publishing deal to back in January of this year, mm-hmm. right? And he didn't have much of anything. He had maybe like 6 pages of finished work and like 20 pages of written story, right? And I was like, you know, it looks cool. I think it would be amazing if it actually was finished, right? So here's my mission. If you can finish, you know, this, and this, right, mm-hmm. by March or something, right, then I'll give you a feature deal on the platform, right? And mm-hmm. he burned through it with his wife. His wife's the artist, mm-hmm. right? So they burnt through that story and started focusing hardcore on making that one. Because, you know, everybody, when they first started off in comic books, they have a million ideas, right? And mm-hmm. I was telling them, I was like, don't do that. Make this one. Make it fast. Don't think about anything else, right? No distractions. Mm-hmm. And he took off, and by about June or something, he had like 200 plus pages done.
Wow.
You know, and that was crazy. Yeah, 200 plus pages. And I said, you know what, I'm just gonna give this guy a traditional publishing deal, right? So mm-hmm. before, with just you know, feature on the app, he gets paid for it, but it's not nearly as involved as a traditional publishing deal. Mm-hmm. So I gave him a traditional publishing deal. I started paying for everything in the production, the books, everything else. And you know, on Black Friday was his debut for his books. And because he had written so much content, he had 6 books on day one, mm. right? 6 comic issues. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to let this guy sell one book at a time. We're going to sell only bundles, right? Mm-hmm. So we're just selling nothing but bundles. His fan base is very, very engaged. And he started that on TikTok because I told him to. I said, yeah, you can get on TikTok, man. So he grew like crazy on TikTok. This guy did over $40,000 in sales in the first month of being in existence.
Wow. That's the way to start.
Yeah. Brand new person. Never done it before in their life, right? And $40,000 mm-hmm. out the door right on the first month.
Wow.
Now, he's a great example of what is possible with our publishing house, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. For creators, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to be able to pull off what he does, but, you know, that was an extremely high success, mm-hmm. right? It's like some people will do $40,000 for the whole year,
yeah.
right? And that's right. Going to conventions mm-hmm. like crazy and everything else. And, you know, he just did it online directly from social media, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. my normal traffic as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just an example of what can happen. Like, it's not – I think it's important because – you know, there's a lot of deals with Dark Horse, Image, all these other platforms, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, their royalties are not that great when they're not selling that many books,
right?
Because it's just, what's it called? There's not much demand in comic book shops,
right?
For stories like ours, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the royalties aren't there, and you lost your property to like to these companies. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try to say. It's just a simple fact that. You know, our company is significantly, a very big viable option for creators looking to get publishing deals in general. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How would they do that? I mean, if somebody, let's say somebody has some content they would like for you to take a look at, how do they do that?
Well, the main thing is to email me, really. I mean, if you email me with a low-res PDF and say, hey, I'm looking to have this title published, right? It's not an idea. I don't like ideas. Like, don't send me any scripts or ideas, because that goes into the whole, like, copyright issues and stuff. Like, if I'm writing something similar, you know, it's automatic. But if you already have a book that's out, right, and you got first issue done, maybe a couple of issues or whatever, that's the best ones to show me, because that's something that I'm either interested in or not, right? I know exactly what it is and what it isn't. Mm-hmm. One thing is, we do have a whole bunch of ground rules. So for one, we tend to focus heavily on historical fantasy, sci-fi, you know, titles that are not typical in the industry, right? We don't want to kind of like go head to head with superheroes.
Right.
So superheroes extremely non-selective. We don't ever select superhero stories, right? So those things are avoided. Black, brown, indigenous people, we tend to have those kind of creators who are writers, just because we like telling those stories, and that's kind of our customer base, right? So it's easier to sell your product if it's that. And then also schedules, right? Your team has to be together, right? I don't like building teams, right? So you got to be able to have a team that has a good production schedule. You know when your next issue is coming out, all that good stuff, because we're paying for everything, so we want to make sure that, you know, the team's just grinding. Right. All we got to do is cut a check. It's off to the races.
That'll be great. That's a good thing. So what is your email then?
Well, they can always email me through Instagram. I got my email there. I also have it on my website as well. So it's on the website. So they can apply there.
Mm-hmm. Is that support@blacksandsentertainment.com?
Yeah. So that one right there. That's fine. Like I said, I like direct email. So I hate when people email stuff like, hey, I was wondering if you publish comic books. Like, right? It's like, get a lot of emails, so
right.
I need something very, very direct. Yeah. Say, hey, this is the comic book that I've created. I was wondering if it would be a good fit for Black Sands or BSP Comics Today app, right? And then I'll check it out.
Boom. Well, that'd be great. So you've mentioned you particularly like historical, diverse storytelling. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, historical, diverse storytelling, history, fantasy, sci-fi, mythology. Okay. Those kind of vibes tend to be the best. Also, I like modern – for some reason, I really like modern drama, right? Not crime stories. I hate crime stories, right, because they're common. But, like, you know, like playing football, right? You know, high school football teams or something like that, right? Like, it's like something very normal. Right. That's fun to read or whatever. And that we don't for some reason do. Like, we always make shows for this, like TV shows for this. But we never make like comics for this, which it's just an American thing, because in Japan, everything's up for grabs. Right. Volleyball, tennis. Right. I want to be a comic creator. Right. And there's a whole comic series on a guy trying to be a comic creator. You know, right? So it's like, you know, it's just normal stories that, you know, can be very, you know, entertaining to read, right?
Yeah, that's going to be something to see. There is something on your website that I wanted to follow up with. It talked about define the culture. As a customer, subscriber, or investor, you are doing your part to take back our rich history. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, for me, I believe that there is a lot of confirmation bias in the industry. So what happens is they dictate what will be made, right, because they have all the dollars, right? And then when they do that, we say, oh, but these are the kind of stories that are popular, when the reality is that only stories being made, right? My big idea was like, let's just say the simple fact that we have like freaking 12 stories about slavery every year, right? Do you really think black people want to see another movie about slavery? Like, we didn't get the point. Like, we don't understand that we had a very bad time during slavery. You know, they don't want to say that, but the reality is, if you polled people and you said, hey, we have a new story coming out about the Mali Empire, right? Or we have a new story out about any topic at all involving slavery, and I guarantee you 99% of the time the black consumer is going to say, yeah, well, I know about the Mali Empire, crazy concept, you know. It's like but nobody will make it. So when you are an investor or a patron or whatever, you're allowing us to be able to make the decision without them, right? I don't have to pitch I don't have to pitch somebody in Hollywood to make the show, mm-hmm. right? Same thing with Black Sands, the anime. It's like, I don't have to pitch executives in Hollywood to make the show. I could just literally raise millions of dollars in fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying? That's cool. That's great. It reminds me, I was at a comic shop one time, and a black woman came in, and she wanted to know which books featured black female superheroes that she could get to for her daughter. And, you know, we struggled to come up with some of them. You know, of course, you got Storm, the usuals. Storm and, well, now Batwoman, of course, on CW is a person of color. But when you get beyond a couple of them, it was really hard for us to come up with other ones. So this is one of the things I think your company does. I think it a much-needed, you know, place in our society is we need to understand not only people of color, but others like me need to understand the culture, understand what people feel and think. And so I think that your company does a wonderful job of meeting that need and coming forward to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I think we're on the verge of like a, you know, a shift in like, you know, I say define the culture, right?
Right.
Like that's a big idea to me. I'm looking at the grand scheme of things. If we succeed in what we're doing and we get national and Black Sands becomes a big, giant success, mm-hmm. it's going to popularize African mythology in general, mm-hmm. right? Just like 20 years ago, you couldn't find anything about Vikings. No one cared, right? Now everything's Viking, right? Mm-hmm. It's like that wasn't like a always thing. Like, man, white people in America love Vikings. Like, that was not something that was ever a thing, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. just randomly in like 2010, people started going hardcore Viking. All of a sudden, everything Viking started to be hot, and mm-hmm. it just became like this huge cultural phenomenon, right? And now, mm-hmm. like almost all video games, even games made by developers that are not even from Europe. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, are being about Vikings. Like, they have to throw Vikings in there somewhere in this story. And it's just funny to me that happened. And it could happen for African cultures as well. We just got to get it out there. You know
what's interesting? The Viking thing. I think where that started from, if my perception is correct, it was on the History Channel, of all places. They did a Viking show.
And yeah, that's when it became popular, where people started, like, doing a lot of studying and stuff and started, you know, making their own little stories and stuff. But before that, nobody really knew. Like, yeah. Maybe it was a couple of video games, but not much, mm-mm. right? And then it just went crazy.
Well, I think it was because it was a well-told story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were really interesting things going on about characters that we got invested in. I mean, I watched that show religiously every week. And it's just because, now see, I think if we did a program about, like, the black culture like you're talking about, if it was well done, I think you'd have a good turnout of people to watch it. Interesting characters, fascinating storytelling, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that would go over big time.
Yeah, and start a movement, more importantly, because then there'll be a lot of people making the content and a lot of studios making the content, right? And that's where the big shift happens, because right now, like, literally, like, 90% of all, like, Hollywood's dollars when it comes to black productions goes to, like, crime drama, civil rights, slavery, yeah. right? And maybe sports and religion. And that's it. That's like 90%. Like, there's like no, there's like, you know, it's like there's no other options in there, right? And it's crazy that we're boxed in so hard right now.
Yeah.
So hopefully this right here opens it up.
I hope so.
For different stories.
Yeah, I hope so, because there was a show called Brimstone that came on Fox, and the reason why they put that show out, it was like supernatural people escaped from hell, and they were gotten into the world, and this one guy's task was to get them back into hell. And the reason why they made that show was people were always saying, we want something different. And then when some people saw it, they said, well, not that different. And I got a kick because I loved the show. I thought it was something really unique. I mean, one time the spirit got into a car, and I was like, wow. I said, Christine all over again. I said, that was really – but it was different. Every week was something really different. It only lasted one season. And I was really – when I read that story, I thought, oh, man – See, that's the thing. We say we want different, but then when somebody does it, we don't necessarily want that different. We want something still within our comfort range.
You never know what's going to happen with the wider audience. All I know is, I've seen a lot of shows that were freaking amazing that died instantly, mm-hmm. and I was like, why did it die? I remember I was watching this show called Dark Matter.
Yeah.
And like season 3 ended on the best freaking like ending I've ever seen in a show. I was like, oh, that was awesome. Oh, we got to see what happens now. And they're like, yep, that was last season. I was like, why? Right? It's over, right? Because whatever numbers are in their system, right? And sometimes it's not even the numbers that are bad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it has to do with the deal that they've struck. Mm-hmm. Right, like for instance, The Expanse, probably one of the best sci-fi shows we've had in the last 2 decades. Right,
mm-hmm. Right.
So, The Expanse, it got canceled on Sci-Fi because Sci-Fi didn't have a good enough deal with the creators or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't profiting from like reruns or DVR plays or anything like that. They only made money on the very debut of the episodes and mm-hmm. not like the subsequent showings.
Right.
So they were like, this is an expensive show to make, and I'm not even getting all the benefits of the sales, mm-hmm. so we killed it, right? Mm-hmm. Even though the show was thoroughly popular, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. so that's the reality of it, right? Sometimes it's not even, like, canceled because of numbers or popularity. It's canceled mm-hmm. because, the studio's not benefiting enough.
Yeah. The good news for The Expanse is that it went over to Amazon Prime.
Yep.
That's the good news. And that there's a lesson in there, I think. That just because it doesn't make it on a quote-unquote network doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. There's all these wonderful programs on, like Netflix is just thriving. And one of the things that makes me laugh out loud is when I see, like, the Karate Kid comes back as a Cobra Kai. And it's massively popular. And I'm like, what? That old 80s movie now comes back as a TV show and just takes off. So, if it's a good and original or different kind of idea, I think we need much more of that. And I think that's one thing that your company is doing is providing a lot of that kind of entertainment. And boy, do we desperately need it.
Appreciate it.
We really do. So if people go to your website, blacksandsentertainment.com, we find a lot of information there.
It's also blacksands.com. So blacksands.com works as well.
Oh, right.
I bought that. I bought that address. had to pay a lot of money, but dang it, it's easy. So blacksands.com.
That was worth it, I'm sure. Really good. Batten, you got the app?
BSP Comics.
Yep, that's right. That's a good place to go. So you've got all kinds of ways to get involved. And I wanted to say, as a Patreon, you get let in on some of the things that are happening, like the whole Shark Tank thing. It came across in a patron email, and I thought, this is a great way to try to help support this company that I really believe in and to try to get the word out about it. And so, once again, I want to say, this Friday at 8 o'clock on ABC, Shark Tank, be sure to watch because we want to be able to support Black Sands as much as we can and help Manuel get all these good stories out there so we can enjoy them.
Word. Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for interviewing me.
Well, it's good talking with you, and I truly believe in the company, and I'm so glad this is happening. And one more thing I wanted to say was that even just being on the show can be a success.
Yep.
So I'm hoping all kinds of wonderful things happen as a result of it.
Yeah, us diehard Shark Tank fans, we know. We've seen companies go on there, and they had maybe $500,000 in sales lifetime, and they mm-hmm. end up with like $100 million yeah. 2 years later.
Yep.
So you never know what's going to happen.
That's just amazing. Well, you certainly deserve it, and I hope it happens for you guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.
End results aside, we are not happy. You hacked Justice League systems, disobeyed direct orders, and endangered lives. You will not be doing this again.
I am sorry, but we will.